The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut. Weekday morning from 6 to 7.
Is there anybody alive out there?
The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut.
In the field. And good morning, Denver! Welcome back to the show for this Tuesday, February 19th. Thanks for tuning in, of course, on 1340 AM, 104.7 FM, MyLifeSports.com. Maybe you're streaming us live on the My Life Sports app on your phone. Plenty of ways to listen to the sports talk all day long on the station. And thank you for starting your day, your Tuesday, right here with the Morning Huddle. I'm your host, David Hurlbut. Kyle Berry, for whatever reason, is still putting up with me. He's still, as we say in the biz, on the other side of the glass. So glad you could all join us. 303-831-1340. That is the hotline and the text line. Kyle's Twitter at KBerryYourHead. Mine is at Hurlbut Huddle. Plenty of ways to reach us, whatever's on your mind today. We were off yesterday, President's Day, so plenty to talk about from the three-day weekend. We will talk to Joe Benton in the third segment, talk a little Daytona 500, some golf updates, plenty of NBA All-Star Weekend, talk about the game. I've got more mock drafts. I've got more possible free agents for the Broncos. So plenty to talk about on this Tuesday, which feels like a Monday. I'm sure I'll be a little rusty. This job is like anything else. If you don't do it every day, you come back after break, you got to get back in the swing of things. But Kyle, how you doing, man?
I'm good? Just here so I won't get fined.
Making me coffee. Oh, that's funny. Fair enough. Let's stop wasting time, shall we? Today in sports.
Today in Sports with David Hurlbut, presented by Caliber Home Loans. Let them guide you home. Visit CaliberHomeLoans.com.
February 19th, let's go back to 1935. Lou Gehrig signs a contract with the New York Yankees for $30,000. Imagine what Lou Gehrig would be worth today. 1942, the New York Yankees announced that they would admit 5,000 uniformed servicemen free to each of their home ball games during the coming season. All right, for someone who can't stand the Yankees, who was just a longtime suffering Mets fan, that's great. Back in 1942, of course, during World War II. Good stuff there by the Yankees. 1965, the NFL began using six officials during games. 1996, Charles Barkley. Oh, what a fun, what a fascinating player and great commentary. How'd you like to, as I always say, how'd you like to sit down and grab a pizza and a beer or a Coke, whatever your beverage of choice is? How'd you like to sit down for an hour and have lunch with Charles Barkley? Would that be, oh, that would be amazing. Going back to this stat, in 1996, Charles gets his 10,000th career rebound. He becomes only the 10th NBA player to reach 20,000 points and 10,000 rebounds in his career. Underrated player, Charles. And the same day, 96, right here, Colorado Avalanche's own Patrick Waugh becomes the second youngest NHL goaltender and the 12th overall to reach 300 career victories back in 1996. That's the day in sports, folks, for February 19th, which is a Tuesday in 2019. So glad you could all join us. What do we got? Where do we want to go? Go to golf, watching the Genesis Open over the weekend. Man, the last few tournaments on this West Coast swing, and now this coming week they'll be down in Mexico City for the World Golf Championships. Phil's going to defend his title down there. Love to see these guys in person hit the ball at 7,000 feet. You think Denver's got some elevation? Try adding 2,000 more feet. I would love. How about Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy hitting the ball in Mexico City? They must love it. So that's this weekend. But these last few tournaments, man, I can't remember such a rainy West Coast swing. I mean, Phoenix, the last day of Phoenix, there was rain on Super Bowl Sunday. That's always a beautiful, sunny event. Pebble Beach, some soggy weather up there. The Genesis Open, I mean, barely got any holes in last Thursday. Guys played, extra holes over the weekend. Guys getting up at, 3:30 or 4 a.m. complaining. Hey, deal with it. Kyle and I do it every day. And I'm not making $1.3 million like J.B. Holmes. But J.B. Holmes took home the title over Justin Thomas, over McIlroy, over Adam Scott. Justin Thomas fell apart. I did not see that coming. Now, he's not the clutch closer who Tiger was in his heyday. And Phil, statistically, when he's got a 54-hole lead, is clutch. But, man, I did not see Justin Thomas shooting a 75 on Sunday. But the winds were whirling. The temperatures were cold. The air was wet. I mean, it was tough conditions. The rough was soggy, so Justin Thomas is struggling. McIlroy, not a bad Sunday. Adam Scott, 76. And Jordan Spieth, 81, 10 over par on his Sunday. I believe the worst round of his young professional career. 81. If you look at his card, bogey, bogey, double bogey, triple bogey, bogey. Maybe a birdie in there, a few pars. But dreadful day for most of the guys, and J.B. Holmes just outlasted them all. Shooting a 70, one under par. Good enough for 14 under for the tournament, takes home the prize. So congrats to J.B. winning at Famed Riviera. Nice win for him, I believe. His fifth win now on tour. Siwoo Kim made a run there. Wow, Siwoo Kim, 66. I forgot, he didn't get the camera time the other guys get. But quietly, there he shoots a 66, made a run at it. But it was still a fun event. Hey, once in a while, I enjoy watching the guys struggle a little bit. Now, I don't need to see a bloodbath where everybody's shooting 75s, 76, but once in a while, like at the U.S. Open, it's okay to see them have to work for it. It makes me feel better about my game when they're constantly in the rough or hitting from behind a tree or going to a drop zone. So it was okay by me, but J.B. Holmes takes home the prize. He was called out at one point for his slow play. Very slow player. Even the announcers were talking about Jim Nance and Nick Faldo. You know, he doesn't get into his putting routine until the other guys have putted, but you know, I'm talking about looking at his notes, looking at his book. He could be looking at his book while his playing partners are putting, but he waits until they're completely done and marked. Then he takes out his book and starts looking at his notes on the green. Then he starts walking around looking at the ball. Hey, but he doesn't care. He takes home the victory and the $1.3 million. How about Matt Kuchar? I was tough on Matt Kuchar for several days on this show and on Twitter. If you follow me there, at Hurlbutt Huddle. If you remember last fall, he won a tournament down in Mexico. Again, he took home $1.3 million. The man has won $48 million in prize money in his career. That's just prize money. That's not what he gets paid by Skecher for wearing his Skecher golf shoes or, you know, Bridgestone. What else does he do? I know he plays a Bridgestone ball. He's got plenty of it. I think he has Workday on his sweater now. But the shoes are huge, so that's not even including all his endorsements. He's made over $48 million in prize money. And I criticize him because he won the tournament down there in Mexico, and he gave his caddy $5,000. Now, typically, when you win a tournament, your caddy gets 10%. So do my quick math. 10% of $1.3 million is $130,000. And he gave the caddy $5,000. And he said it was part of the arrangement. I don't want to hear it. Even if it was part of the arrangement, if you end up winning the dang tournament, you adjust that arrangement. So he issued on February 15th a very, very nice statement. I'm just going to read a couple lines here. This week I made comments that were out of touch and insensitive, making a bad situation worse. I never wanted any negativity on the golf classic. I feel it is my duty to represent the tournament well. He goes on to say, I was very insensitive. He said things about the caddy, whose name is David, Look, the guy makes $200 a day, so $5,000 for a week is good for him. That's not the point, man. You won $1.3 million. A caddy's share is about 10%, $130,000. That is life-changing money for someone. That's life-changing money for me. You give me $130,000, pay off half my home. That is lifetime-changing money if you're smart. And this was not his regular caddy. Remember, I told you his regular caddy had made plans because Matt entered this tournament at the last minute. So he found a local caddy who works at golf course, and they won the dang tournament. So I'll tell you what the settlement was when we got back, maybe what tipped Matt Kuchar into making this move, what happened, what was the situation was, and how he made amends, because I think he did the right thing. Come on back, talk a little more of this, talk a little LeBron James, talk a little All-Star game. Is LeBron actually going to miss the playoffs? What does that mean to the NBA on a Tuesday?
Don't talk about playoffs. Are you kidding me?
Go for it.
Playoffs?
Oh, I love it.
I just hope we can win a game.
The Morning Huddle. I'm having a ball.
Morning Huddle with David Hurlbutt, presented by the Fitz Team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at FitzTeam.com.
Yeah, check out the website, PHIPPSTeam.com. Love that team over there in Old Town Arvada. Decades of experience. I tell you the similar things all the time because it's true and it's impressive. Over 1,000 homes sold and counting. Great, great staging. Awesome open houses. I tell you, you just don't walk in and grab a bottle of water. I mean, they've got a nice buffet there for you. One or two agents there all the time, answer all your questions. Just an absolute rock star. So check them out, FippsTeam.com. Just talking about Matt Kuchar making things right with the young caddy down there in Mexico, helped him win a tournament down there in Mexico. Kuch took home $1.3 million. Initially gave the caddy $5,000. He was this was coming around to bite one of the cleanest guys, most liked guys, carefree guys, kindest guys in the rear end. I mean, he was starting to get a backlash here. And at the opening day, or the day before, at the Genesis Open out in LA, I mean, he was starting to actually get heckled by fans. I mean, one guy on the 6th tee yells, "Go low, Cooch," just not on the gratuity. And fans cheered when he missed a putt on the 12th. They cheered when he missed a putt, and the chants, instead of Cooch, they were chanting Mooch. It could be heard all day. So clearly, Matt Kuchar got the message. Fans, golf fans, were not impressed by his stinginess. So what did he do? The caddy had asked for $50,000. The caddy didn't even ask for the $130,000 that most would get. He reached out to Kuchar's agent. They said, nope, nope, nope. This was the deal. Nope. They offered a few thousand more, and the caddy said, no, thank you. Finally, Matt gave him the amount that the caddy was asking for, $50,000. So it's half of probably what he deserved, but he got $50,000 from Kuchar. Matt also donate a lot of money back to the tournament, and they will distribute it to all their different philanthropies. So he is making things right, and that's what he should have done. It was incredibly cheap for a man who has made nearly $50 million in prize money. $50 million and counting. He's only 40. He can be in top 10s for the next 10 years. Maybe win a major tournament here and there. Heck, he's won two already this year. And this does not even include endorsements. He's very marketable. So his apology was heartfelt. It was sincere. I've heard a lot of apologies over the years in sports. Some are robotic. Some you can tell were written by an attorney or some publicist. This was a very, very nice statement. He spoke about it at the LA Genesis Open many times. And he said, I screwed up. I was called out. He was called out by the fans. You know, other than the Ryder Cup, I've never seen Matt Kuchar heckled ever. One of the nicest guys, and I've met him. He is a gentleman. He's a nice guy, but this was a wrong that he made right. So good for Kuchar. It's over and done. I just wanted to give it some time because I was tough on him the last couple of weeks. And I'm glad that young man down there in Mexico got his 50K. Good for him. Help Matt Witch win the darn tournament. 303-831-1340. That's the hotline and text line. Cold, gray day today in Denver, 22 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be a beautiful sunny day. Maybe some snow at the end of the week. Was watching a little NBA All-Star game over the weekend. Malone getting the victory, coaching Team LeBron. KD getting the MVP. Just look at the box score. What was the final? 178 to 164. Team LeBron over Team Giannis. I mean, you and I both picked LeBron, right? I picked LeBron. You picked him too?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we both did. They had so much talent on that team.
They had to come back.
They did.
Giannis was formidable.
And it looked like early on his pick of kind of going with his friends and chemistry may actually work. But did you hear what Malone did at halftime?
Mm-mm.
Just reading this on the Sporting News late last night as I was preparing for the show. Apparently LeBron went up to Malone and said, hey, we really want to watch J. Cole's halftime concert.
Yeah?
Can we watch the concert? Can the team? And he said on one condition, if you pick up this pathetic defensive effort.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Calling him out. Little trade action.
Yeah.
Trade you some good defense for some good J. Cole.
Yeah. What's that called in Latin? Quid pro quo or something like that. You
well
help
said.
Me, I'll help you.
Yep.
So they were down 13 halftime and went on to win by, where's my math? 14.
Could you name a J. Cole song if you had to?
I don't mean to be rude. If J. Cole walked in here right now, I'd have no idea who he is. please play one during the show.
Okay. We'll bump out with him.
I am open-minded. I want to stay young and hip.
He's pretty young and hip, J. Cole.
Where's he from?
I heard he almost dunked. He's from North Carolina.
North Carolina? Oh, perfect. So he's a hometown kid at Charlotte?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Steph Curry going back home to Charlotte. Did you like the All-Star weekend, Kyle? Any highlights?
Yeah.
What'd you like? You love it.
Yeah, I loved it all. Jason Tatum's one of my favorites. He won the skills competition. Diallo's dunk over Shaq with the elbow in the rim. Was sweet.
Is that when he pulled open his shirt and he had the Superman?
I think so. I just know that he used Shaq as a bit. So how do you not win the dunk competition
when
you use
Shaq? That's a big man. To jump over someone like Shaquille O'Neal. That's incredible.
And then the All-Star game was awesome. It was cool to see Jokic. And then we had a little bit of Denver media down there at the All-Star game. Vic Lombardi got to ask LeBron a question about playing for Malone that I can play back for you.
Oh, please. Later? Cool.
Oh, you want it now? I'll get it now. But it's pretty cool. I mean, LeBron really respects Malone.
So, I like that.
I mean, could you imagine LeBron in Denver? Stop.
Stop it.
Did KD win MVP?
He did MVP. What do you have, like 29 points? No. KD, 31 points, 7 rebounds, a few assists. He won MVP. He got hot late.
I'd take KD in Denver.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but I've been tough on KD ever since he went to Golden State, called it a cupcake move like many people have. I'll tell you right now, we are hypocrites in sports. The example I give personally is I couldn't stand Deion Sanders with Atlanta. I couldn't stand him even more when he went to San Fran and won Defensive Player of the Year. When he came to Dallas, I couldn't buy a jersey fast enough.
The audio is not that great, but did you want to hear what LeBron had to say about Michael Malone?
Absolutely.
LeBron, I know you and Coach Malone go way back. How would you evaluate his coaching performance in a game like that?
Great. He was unbelievable. Brought back a lot of memories for myself, just all the years that we had back in my early days in Cleveland, back in his early days coaching.
That's great, man.
Definitely missing, miss being around him every day. I miss the fire that he brings to the game, miss his mental side of the game as well. So to be able to have this weekend, these last couple of days with him has been a very good treat.
And that's a great little endorsement there by arguably one of the top two or three players of all time. Malone's star is rising. I mean, he is doing a wonderful job. I mean,
would you say the entire Nuggets organization's star is rising?
Yes. And I don't think... just like Nolan Arenado, I now understand it, having lived here a few years. you know, Denver's a beautiful, gorgeous, amazing city, but it's kind of in the middle of the country. Not kind of, it is. And I don't think it gets the credit it deserves, and I don't think the sports teams, other than the Broncos, get the credit they deserve, and the players. Denver is having a fantastic season, the Nuggets. Malone, you know, is a candidate for Coach of the Year. Why not? We sat here on this show. I'll speak for myself. I won't put words in other folks' mouth. But I said, look, just make the playoffs this year. Just make it. That's the next step. Get in there. Be the 8th or 7th seed. 6th seed would be amazing. They're the number 2 seed right now. Now I want them to go to the Western Conference Finals. He has stepped up his coaching. I was critical of it. I'm trying to think of the timeline here. A year and a half ago. You know, his use of timeouts, the rotation of players, managing the game. I don't know. One off season before this season, I don't know who he talked to or how it's just all of a sudden clicking for Malone. But it really is. Same with the Nuggets. They're getting healthier. I expect Harris back, you know, imminently. I don't know if he'll play the very next game, but maybe, you know, within a game or two. You got Isaiah Thomas resting again after his debut. I am very, very excited for these next, 28, 30 games for the Nuggets. I can't wait for the playoffs. I also can't wait to talk to Joe Benton. I did okay on my pick for the Daytona 500. It's a Tuesday. It's chilly on Mile High Sports.
Morning Huddle with David Hurlbutt, presented by the Phipps Team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at PhippsTeam.com.
I am trying to take my heart out of this. I could take Jimmy or Jersey Boy Truex. I'm just trying to look at a guy who's run well here the last few years. I'm going Denny Hamlin. Third last year, winning in 2016. I'm going Denny Hamlin.
He's an amazing pick, and there's no reason in the world why he couldn't win. I mean, he's that good.
Logano and Priest grew up together at the quarter midget tracks in Connecticut. And Logano looks low. Top lane
Kyle
gets
Busch
filled. It's Kyle.
Logano.
Kyle Busch in the top lane. Logano on the bottom. McDowell, the second yellow car. Where will he go?
So interesting that McDowell decided to go with Kyle Busch, but here comes Eric Jones on the inside. Denny Hamlin.
Hamlin off turn number 4. No, side-by-side battle to the finish this time. Denny Hamlin wins his second Daytona 500 and wins it for Coach Gibbs in Toyota.
Sometimes on a Friday I'll stop by and have a few drinks.
Ah, the sweet sounds of Bruce. I'm a good winner, aren't I, Kyle? Somebody picked the Daytona 500 winner. All righty. Joe Benton, are you awake and ready, my friend?
Of course I am.
You know what, man? Even a blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while, and a broken clock is right twice a day. So I'm enjoying this victory, my friend.
I was going to say the same thing, buddy.
Hey, it's
Even
Joe Benton.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Absolutely. Joe Benton's joining us, talking a little NASCAR, of course, talking Daytona 500. The Super Bowl of NASCAR happened over the weekend. How you doing, buddy? You doing well?
I am. I'm doing very well.
Good. Glad you could join us. All right. Before we get to Denny and some other stories, I was enjoying the race. You know, had to watch the first 10, 15 laps very closely, keep checking in, have it on the background. Really enjoying the race for 90-95% of the race. And then, my goodness, Joe, I don't know exactly what lap it happened. It feels like the last 12, 13, 14 laps. But then it was just one disaster after another. What the heck happened, in your opinion, at the end of that race?
You know, I was trying to figure out the same thing. I feel like it turned into amateur hour out there for the last, I don't know, 20 laps of the race.
I mean,
it's like everybody forgot how to drive, and they're just like, hey, we're just going to see if we can play bumper cars out here and see if everybody can wreck.
Did that ruin the race for you, Joe?
You know, there was a lot about the race that I was really disappointed with. I mean, the stage thing still bothers me. I don't like, I get it. I get why NASCAR did it. I get why they're trying to pull competition back together. But, you know, it used to be where you had a whole race to work on your car and, you know, the good cars separated themselves and you built up that lead, you know, and you drove away from everybody if you came to the track prepared and you hit on something right. But now, you know, they stop the race and allow these people to work on their cars. And that stage thing just bothers me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they're doing it, but, you know, these restrictor plate races, they're constantly tickering with these engines and everybody's in a big group. And, you know, one little bump, one little gust of air pushes somebody into somebody else, and the next thing you know, 10 laps to go, you got a 21 car pile up that if you were lucky enough to be in front of them, you know, that's an easy win.
Yep.
You know, that's how it is.
Talk with Joe Benton talking Daytona 500. Yeah, there's definitely some luck in my pick, but I did do some research. You know, he won a few years ago. Top three finish last year. He likes the track. What is it about Denny Hamlin and this race and this track that is such a nice fit the last few years?
Well, Denny's a great driver. He's a very good restrictor plate driver. He is very good in the draft. You know, it's a special skill to be able to race these cars on the big restrictor plate tracks. He's good. I mean, he won 2 years ago. Last year he was top three. But he's always been good at the big tracks. You know, there is an extreme amount of luck that's involved in winning these races and, you know, being able to put your car in the right place at the right time and getting a push from the right person. And, you know, I was watching the interviews with him, and he could not believe on that last restart in overtime that Kyle Busch picked the inside lane. Denny said that everybody knows that you always pick the outside lane because the outside lane is the one that, you know, you have a little more distance around the track, believe it or not, and you get a little bit more speed, and it seems like everybody who starts on the outside ends up getting the lead, and that's exactly what happened, and he was able to hold off Kyle Busch.
I was surprised. I wanted to ask you about that, Joe, that restart, because you and I have talked about it for several years now, that Kyle Busch may be the best at those restarts, and Denny just, it was textbook. Were you surprised by the outcome of that restart?
I was extremely surprised that Kyle Busch took the inside lane.
Okay,
That is what really surprised me about the whole thing. It was, I think, very lucky for Denny Hamlin that he did that.
Had the positions been reversed, do you think we're talking about a Kyle Busch victory today?
I think so. And I think that Kyle Busch realized it. He's never really going to let on about, you know, a perceived mistake that he makes.
Sure.
But I think that if he had it to do over again, he'd start on the outside lane.
Talking with Joe Benton, talking the Daytona 500. You know, it was a tough time for Joe Gibbs recently, and it was a nice day for him. Tell us about that, the Joe Gibbs situation, Joe.
Well, J.D. Gibbs, Joe Gibbs' son, passed away recently. He was the president of Joe Gibbs Racing, president of operations, and fought brain cancer for many years. I think he was diagnosed in 2015, and, you know, through various treatments and everything. It's just, it was something that he couldn't overcome. And he is the guy that personally picked Denny Hamlin to join Joe Gibbs Racing.
Wow.
And JD and Denny were very good friends and very close. And Denny ran with JD's name on his car, and the Gibbs boys finished 1-2-3. First time that's happened since, I believe, 97, when three Hendrick drivers, Jeff Gordon, Terry Labonte, and might have been Ricky Craven, I might may be wrong on that third one, but it was first time that, an owner has swept the top three positions in, what's that, 20, 30 years?
22 years. Wow.
22 years. There you go.
That's a beautiful story, Joe. I mean, sometimes, it's a beautiful Hollywood ending to, you know, I'm sure you remember when Brett Favre lost his father, then he goes out and plays, I forget if it was a Sunday or Monday night game, and throws like four touchdowns against the Raiders.
One of the best games Favre ever played.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's just, that's how it should have ended, Joe, you know, and I did not know that his son JD picked Denny Hamlin. Well, you couldn't have scripted that any better.
And JD, I mean, you are very familiar, being a huge football fan that you are, you're very familiar with Coach Gibbs and what kind of person he is, what kind of coach he was, and his son JD was every bit of the gentleman that his father is, and it was a big loss to the sport.
Absolutely, and look, I kid all the time that, you know, Joe Gibbs is still cursing me because he's a longtime coach of the Redskins, and you know I root for Dallas. But just like Redskins fans would respect the Tom Landry or Roger Staubach, I have the utmost respect for Joe Gibbs. And he's one of these guys, Joe, everything he does, he wins. You obviously know about his success in NASCAR. But I remember reading he entered the 45 and over racquetball national championships, and he won the whole thing.
I did not know that. That's amazing.
It's just like, you know, like I'm a Tony Romo fan. He's all pro. He's a scratch golfer. Now he's the best announcer. And it's just like, some guys, can you share some of this luck and skill with the rest of us? But I'm very, very happy for Joe Gibbs. That's how it should be.
And, you know, just to show how charming these guys are, 1993, Joe Gibbs won his first Daytona 500 with Dale Jarrett driving for him, and they couldn't find victory lane, so
they decided
to leave. They got the trophy, and all the boys were hungry, so they went to Steak and Shake, and so it became a tradition that every time they win at Daytona 500, they take the trophy, and the team goes out to Steak and Shake, and they did it again the night of the 500. They took the trophy, Denny Hamlin and all the crew guys, and they all went down to the local Steak and Shake and had dinner and interacted with fans and was able to celebrate on a really personal level with those people. And then, I mean, just, it's class act, that whole organization, class act.
Did you say steak?
Yeah. Joe, that's incredible. And I did not realize that Joe Gibbs has now been in racing that long. I mean, it's going to be a good debate when he is all said and done and retires. Is he known more for a football coach or a team owner? I mean, that's incredible. 26 years ago, he won his first 500. We've got about a minute left, Joe, but I'm glad we're having this nice long segment with you. Where are we next week?
So we're going to Atlanta Motor Speedway. Great track, 2 mile track, a lot of racing. It's just a wild, crazy time there in Atlanta. It's always fun there.
How many miles? 400? 500?
It's a 400-mile race.
Okay. Who you got, brother?
Oh, it's going to be tough. But, you know, since it's not a survival of the fittest race, I think some strategy is going to come into play. You know what? I think I'm going to go with one of the usual suspects in Kevin Harvick.
That's a good pick. Kyle, you want to get in on this action next week, Atlanta?
Yeah, I'll go with Kyle Busch.
I was going to go with Kyle Busch, too. You know, obviously second at the 500. To switch it up, I'll go with the guy you had high hopes for, Joe, and it looked like he ran a nice race, finished ninth. I'm going to go with Jimmy in Atlanta.
A great pick. Jimmy got snake bit on pit road, of all places, when a little car got out of control and went sliding down pit road and ran over the rear end of his car. I mean, how often does that happen?
I know. I saw that. I thought of you because he was running a nice race. But I think he's going to have a nice year. I think it starts this week in Atlanta.
Look, he's won there many times. He's a great race driver and a great track for him there in Atlanta.
Well, Joe, we'll talk to you next Tuesday when I'm 2-for-2 and sweeping the 2019 season.
Hey, man, I hope for you, man, and I hope for Jimmy, too. So,
Joe, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my boys. Have a great day.
I did not know all that stuff about Joe Gibbs and the Steak and Shake, and that is just awesome. You know, what did I say earlier in the show? How'd you like to have lunch with Charles Barkley? How'd you like to sit down, have a steak, and talk football and racing with Joe Gibbs? Unbelievable. Come on back. One more segment on a Tuesday of Mile High Sports. We can start with a kiss
and pretend we just got back. You good, T-Minus?
Even count me out. I'm counting my bullets. I'm loading my clips. I'm writing down names.
The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbutt, presented by the Phipps Team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at phippsteam.com. I'm all in my bag. It's hard
as it get. I do not throw powder. Is this more J. Cole?
Yes, sir.
What's the name of this track?
Middle Child. This is his newest one.
All right. Got a nice beat. I can see why the guys like it. Folks, tonight, it's February 19th already. I've been talking to you about this for a little over a week. Tips on Tap, the great financial tips from On Tap Credit Union. Tonight, improve your credit score. Join them at the Green Mountain Beer Company from 5 to 6 p.m. Again, that's tonight, February 19th, Green Mountain Beer Company from 5 to 6 p.m. Come and ask questions. Get ideas on how to improve your credit score, which will save you money in the long run. Sign up on their Facebook page for On Tap Credit Union or give them a ring, 303-279-6414. One more time, that number, 303-279-6414. Go to their Facebook page, On Tap Credit Union. Check them out, ontapcu.org. And once again, tonight, Green Mountain Beer Company, from 5 to 6 p.m., learn about your credit score, how to improve it, and take it from me. If you're going through the home buying process, it's very, very important, if you can, to improve that credit score. It's just good to have in general. And it's, if your credit score is struggling, if it's got you down, don't panic. The people like On Tap Credit Union can really help you bring up that credit score faster than you would imagine. So check it out tonight, Green Mountain Beer Company, 5 to 6 p.m., Tips on Tap with On Tap Credit Union. Just talking a little Daytona 500 with Joe Benton there. We talked some NBA All-Star Weekend, the All-Star Game. I gave the much-needed respected props to Matt Kuchar for making a wrong into a right. Talked about the Genesis Open. Tomorrow maybe talk a little about the Golf World Championships this weekend in Mexico City. I think it's time for another David's Dozen. I was just looking here on NFL.com. They did their ranking on some of the greatest athletes of all time. Where does Tom Brady rank? Because obviously I think he's the greatest football player of all time, the greatest quarterback of all time. You can make a case for Jim Brown. His accomplishments were incredible. But the position of quarterback, so much more pressure on you, so much more to learn, to know, to lead. You know, you're involved in every single offensive play. You in the center. So, I mean, where does Tom Brady, come on, David. Where does he rank now among other greats? You know, the Pelés, the Babe Ruths, Jordans, Tigers, Jacks, Serena, Chris Everett, Martina, Muhammad Ali. I think it's time to do an updated David's Dozen tomorrow. My top 12 athletes of all time in terms of their performance, their impact on the game. I won't give it away, but if you want to go to NFL.com, you can easily find their list of athletes. Check it out. I'll tell you right now, they've got Babe Ruth way too low in my book. I know he played at a time where it might seem like it was easier. I tell you all the time, I do not penalize an athlete for playing in the era in which they were born. They can't help that. Babe Ruth can't help that he was born 100 years ago. So what he did, I think, was amazing. I will not have Babe Ruth 10th on my list. He will be much, much higher. If it wasn't for Babe Ruth, the Yankees were in L.A., folks. They'd be the L.A. Yankees. So let's do that tomorrow, second segment. Let's have some fun. It's time for another David's Dozen. Kyle, I saw you tweeted out Mel Kiper's second mock draft, 2.0.
Yeah.
Greedy Williams, LSU corner. I love the nickname Greedy. His aunt, I was reading about it, his aunt gave him a nickname when he was very young, but he loves it because it's good to be greedy as a DB, as a corner. This kid is a wonderful corner. I'd be just fine with that pick. Obviously, the secondary needs help. You know, one piece remaining from the no-fly zone, and that piece, Chris Harris, is coming off an injury. I'd be fine at restocking the secondary. I think Roby, I don't know if he's gone, but I mean, it's very possible he's gone. If he gets a big offer from another team, I don't necessarily believe he deserves it. But if he gets it, God bless you, young man. Take the money. Never mock anybody for making as much as they can, because you never know if he's going to have some devastating injury and not be able to finish out his career. Wow. That show flew by. Would you be okay with the corner at the 10th pick?
No.
Let's talk about that tomorrow. Kyle, I love working with Kyle. Great show, buddy. Thank you to Joe Bennett. It's good to be back after a three-day weekend. Stick around, folks. Of course, Mark and Sean around the corner. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. The Morning Huddle. On the shoulder, half mile.